flat.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mind the Flat, a weekly podcast that brings debate to life's most challenging questions. I'm Chris Heffernan, and as always, I am joined by my former flatmates and very good friends, Amy Isles.
Hello.
And Tom Crowther.
Hello.
This week's life-changing question is, what's the scariest thing in the world? But before that, it's time to get in the zone with Chris's Quiz of the Week. Question number one. According to the NHS, how many people in the UK have a phobia?
Ooh.
40 million.
Would you like some options?
Oh.
I think that's maybe a good
idea.
Yep. A, 3 million. B, 10 million. C, 27 million.
Not quite 40.
27. I'm sure it's got to be... I'd have thought it would be way higher than even 27, so...
I suppose it depends whether they're, like, self-diagnosed or not. Whether they're, like, confirmed phobias.
That is a very good point. Can you have confirmed diagnosed phobias? Are they actually things?
I don't know.
I thought they were just, like, you say you're scared of something.
I don't know. I suppose it depends on the severity of the phobia.
Chris, can you confirm whether it's diagnosed or not?
Well, this is the NHS, so probably someone goes, oh, I'm really scared of trees. I just can't see them. Then they might not say that as an actual phobia. We're talking an actual phobia.
Okay. Then now I'm inclined to lowball it.
Oh, I was going to go like middle of the road. I was thinking like 10 million.
Do you think 10 million people have gone to the doctors and the doctors have said, yes, you've got a clinically diagnosed phobia? You know, that's one in seven people.
I don't know.
I've got to push you for
There's
an answer
lots
here.
Of different phobias.
Okay, should we go? I'll go middle of the road, but I really want it to be the low one.
Okay, we'll go middle. 10.
Bang on, Amy. Ah. Be confident in yourself. 10 million people. Number two. In 2018, Peter Bradshaw from The Guardian created his list of the 25 scariest horror films.
Ooh.
How many of the top five can you correctly name?
Oh my goodness me.
Zero, because I don't think I've ever watched a horror film in my life.
Oh,
so just
goodness.
Give me some films you think might be at the top of this list of scariest horror films. I'd say definitely two of them you will know.
Silence of the Lambs.
Is that horror?
I don't know. I mean, he does eat people. That's kind of scary.
From what I can gather, I thought that was a thriller. But again, not seen any films like this because I'm far too scared. Okay, right.
What's the one where she gets covered in blood? Carrie?
Carrie, yeah.
Frankenstein, maybe?
Friday the 13th?
Maybe. Yeah. I'm just firing out horror films now. I've no idea.
Paranormal Activity.
Oh, you've not named any in the top five yet.
Oh, dear. Oh, it's not going well.
Silence of the Lambs came in at number 10.
Okay.
Any other films you want to shout out here?
The Human Centipede. That one was terrifying. I actually cried during that film.
Is that not more gross?
It is, but I was very disturbed. Like, I did cry at one point. Like, I can't handle this.
Okay. Human Centipede.
Oh.
I think maybe you're thinking horror film. You're thinking sort of Friday the 13th, blockbuster horror films. I'm going to put you out of your misery. Top of the list, I've never heard of this film, Don't Look Now.
Oh.
Number two, I have heard of, Rosemary's Baby.
I've never heard of that one.
And that one then led on to number three, which you definitely have heard of, The Exorcist.
Oh.
Sure.
And number four, come on.
Oh no. Psycho?
Psycho! Of course!
Yeah.
And number five was Dead of Night.
I've heard of one of those.
But lots of them, interestingly, these scarier films were made like a long time ago. Like we're looking at 70s, 60s for most of these films.
Scarily
That's when things
bad.
Were properly scary. Number three. According to a YouGov poll, what three things were British adults most afraid of?
The dark.
Heights.
Heights and death.
Right, you're bang on with number one. Heights was the top of this list.
Snake. Spiders.
Oh, stick with your gut instinct, Tom.
Snakes.
Comes in at number two.
Wow.
Because that's a really legitimate thing to be scared of in this country, sure.
We get so many snakes.
And number three will not be, I think, one you'll think of. Public speaking.
I mean, we're all crippled with that fear, clearly. Mind you, I suppose we haven't got an audience at this stage.
No. Question number four. Which of these phobias does Indiana Jones suffer from?
I know this.
A. Ophidiophobia. B. Murophobia. Or C. Arachnophobia.
Correction, I don't know this. I know it's not the last one because he's scared of snakes. But I don't know what that is.
What was the first one, Chris?
Ophidiophobia.
My instinct is that one because I feel like murophobia is probably something to do with water.
Okay.
Ooh. And so the first one could be related to snakes.
Yeah, that's the one I fell out of the two. Yeah.
Correct. Indiana Jones has ophidiophobia. And murophobia is the fear of rats.
Oh, okay, so completely whacked logic there then.
Which his father suffers from in the film.
Ah, I didn't know that. Sean Connery.
Yes, well, okay. His character. Yeah. I don't know if Sean Connery does, but the character is terrified of rats.
That's like me.
Question number five. Hippopotomonstrosis quipedaliophobia.
What?
Mic drop moment.
In English?
Is the fear of what?
Long words.
A. Fear of horses. B. Fear of something that poses no actual threat. Or C. Fear of long words.
Yeah, you're so right.
Bang on, correct. It is the fear of long words.
Oh, brilliant.
So the fear of long words is a fear of the word of itself.
Yeah.
I think that's
the
point.
I had to write that out phonetically to be able to say it. So, it's now time to debate. The motion before the flat today is wasps are the scariest thing in the world. This week's caveat is death-related fears are too serious for this debate. Other than that, the rules are the same as always. No swearing, no taking offence, and of course, no pompous points. Once again, we start with an affirmative statement, this week from Amy, on whale-inducing wasps.
I thought we were going to start talking about whales for a second then.
the country or the animal?
That's what I was thinking. Okay, wasps. They are the spawn of Satan. They are just... A, they're just not useful. And B... they are evil little critters. And I would use a stronger word, but I'm not allowed to because I'd lose points. They are little... That's my filling in for a swear word. Because they sting you for no reason. You can't... They ruin barbecues, picnics, and they're just... What's the point in them? Bees are useful. And they don't sting you as often because they die. Wasps can go around stinging you as many times as they like, and they live to see another day. I hate them, and they are terrifying because you can never see them or get them away without fear of being hurt. I just don't like wasps.
I am going to have to come in here, Amy, with this from BBC News. A world without wasps would be a world with a very much larger number of insect pests on our crops and gardens. As well as being voracious and ecologically important predators, wasps are increasingly recognised as valuable pollinators, transferring pollen as they visit flowers to drink nectar. So wasps are vital.
I'm sorry.
What would our world be without wasps?
You very much. I'm not sure whether that was pompous or not, but you said voracious. What was it? Voracious and ecological.
I was quoting the news.
Yes, exactly, which seems quite pompous to me.
I mean, the fact you looked up an article that looks at the positives of wasps, I might side with you there, Tom, to be honest. Are we deducting points before he started?
I mean, he said voracious. Come on.
Yeah. All right.
I can't believe
minus
this.
Minus one.
Science and quoting the news.
Yeah, it's pompous.
Well, I still like to say here, wasps have a purpose. So Amy's argument that wasps are useless and don't have a purpose is wrong.
But their purpose can be fulfilled by bees, which are far more lovely and far more, I'd say, far more useful. And spiders as well, they catch insects. Okay, I'll concede to you that they might have a small usage, but they are just, I think this fear for me stems from childhood, because when I was about 4 years old, my mum was on the phone to someone and there was this really stripy little beautiful fly. Well, I thought it was a fly on the windowsill. And I picked it up to go and show my mum, like, look at this, it's got yellow stripes on it. And it stung me right on the palm of my hand.
Wow, you're a dumb
evil
child.
I was only 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But again, I would describe this as evil. If you looked at the wasp and it went, don't look at me, bang, and stung you. But you picked the wasp up where it was perfectly happy and took it away from where it wanted to be. You manhandled the thing.
But I didn't do it maliciously. I think, actually, I just put my hand there and it crawled onto my hand. And then I was walking with it very gently so it wouldn't fly off. And then it stung me.
Everyone knows
evil.
You don't aggravate a wasp.
I'm going to give you a point for the stinginess, because I think...
Thank you.
The thing is about wasps is that they do obviously carry a real physical threat. You know, it's not going to kill you unless you're allergic, maybe, I suppose. But, you're not there to be killed by them, but you are there to actually be hurt by them. One problem with your argument, though, is that wasps only really come about at certain times in the year. They're not always there. You know, in the dead of winter, you're not going to get stung by a wasp. And so it's a very seasonal fear. It's not, and I'd say, something that's really scary is something that's always there. It's a fear that hangs over you always.
Yeah, all right. I'll give you a point for that. I haven't thought about the seasonal aspect. But because of that seasonal aspect, in the summertime when they come about, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be having barbecues. You're going to be having picnics. You're going to be wanting to enjoy the weather outside. But that is ruined by wasps that kind of swarm around any food, any sweet things. And then it just, you can't enjoy it, because I'm like, there's a brilliant Michael McIntyre sketch about the three different types of people who react to wasps. And I am a flapper. Like, if one even comes near me, I'm off. I'm off as far as I can run, because they terrify me.
Maybe you should be scared of wasps, because clearly you just have no idea how to deal with them.
But that is my way of dealing with them. Run away!
I think no one's denying that a wasp is a pest and they're annoying, but properly fear-inducing at the picnic. Yeah, they buzz
absolutely
around, but as soon as you put down a bit of jam inside a jar and get them trapped in that, then they just look quite farcical as you watch them stuck in the bottom of a jar full of jam.
And that's the thing as well, is that you say that, it's scary and, you've been stung personally by them, and obviously that's left a scar on you, but Chris, have you ever been stung by a wasp?
Not that I can remember.
No, I've never been stung by a wasp. I've been stung by a bee, but that's because I stood on it barefoot. So that was completely my fault.
That's the other thing about wasps, is they sting, like a bee stings out of defence, whereas a wasp would just sting you.
I don't know if that's true. I think you're slandering the wasp community here.
Both times when I've been stung, I would say I was doing nothing to aggravate the wasp. The second time I was stung, I was quite a bit older. I think I was about 14, 15. And one was on my back and it had crawled like to my side there, and I jumped and my arms went up and it stung me.
Both
but
times it was shocked though, wasn't it? You didn't attack it, but both times it got a bit of a, oh, something's trying to get me. Ding.
No, I think wasps are just, no, they are attacking beasts, I feel. personally, I think, and that's why I'm scared of them, because I think, whereas bees, like, you get a bumblebee, there was one in work yesterday, just buzzes around quite happily, bumbling about, whereas wasps, they have an aggressive attitude, I would say, and that is why they're terrifying, because they dart around, and they dart near you, and they fly around your head. I'm not keen on things that fly. I don't like birds either. And that's another thing that makes them terrifying. When they're, like, flying around you, and you feel like you can't get out. Oh, no, that's what... No.
I'll give you a point there for the aggressiveness of a wasp.
Thank you.
Yes. But I feel that something about fear is often based on this idea of an unknown. And... this potential of stuff, whereas a wasp, we know it. You can see the wasp. It's there right in front of you. You know it's got a sting. Yes, it buzzes around you. It's expected. You go to a picnic and you know there's going to be a wasp. There isn't that surprise factor, that sudden... A wasp doesn't just appear and sting you and you're stung and it's like, what did that? Because you can hear it coming. Bzzz.
Yeah, I think...
You know it's there.
A wasp gives you, you know, a bit of a heads up. Like, it tells you that it's coming. It's like, it's got a big mechanism in it that makes a noise that tells you, oh, heads up, I'm over.
But it's lacking the shock factor.
But you can't always tell them where they are. And that's another scary aspect. Like, as soon as I hear that buzzing sound, I'm like, where is it? And it honestly is. It's like Jaws. But then if you locate it and you lose it, and you know it's there, but you don't know where it is. Oh, no. And then I don't know where to run to, because my instinct is to run away. But I'm like, I can't run because I don't know where it is. Like, let's not forget, they're not huge. Well, you can get huge wasps, but generally, they're not the size of your hand. Like,
gosh, that would be terrifying. If wasps were the size of your hand, then I'd be all for you here, Amy. Right, Tom, what are you going to bring to this fear factory?
Okay, I feel like after that conversation, my one's just going to sound really, really weird. Okay, I'm just going to like embrace the fact that I'm going to sound like a freak, but I don't like touching. I don't like people touching me. Not in an inappropriate way. I don't like the feeling of skin on skin. Skin is a weird thing. It feels weird. It shouldn't be. I don't know. It makes me, you know, it's one of those things that makes me like fold up inside. Like if someone was to, you know, just stroke my hand, I can't deal with that. It makes me flappy, just like how Amy gets flappy with wasps. But I can't escape
it now.
Like, if people don't know me, they don't know not to do that. I mean, first of all, you shouldn't be touching people you don't know. But, you know, if for some reason someone felt comfortable enough to do that, that would freak me out so much. I would run. I hate it. I don't even like people that I know and like touching me. Like, I can't, like, family members, can't deal with it.
I haven't a clue where on earth to start with this. It's just weird. I mean... Who gets scared of a handshake? Okay, someone puts their hand across to shake.
Yeah, but that's it. Handshakes are even worse because, right? People have like warmth to them. You know, it's you know when you go and you sit on someone's chair after they've sat down and you get a warm backside because someone else has already been sat, and that's uncomfortable. But if you get someone's warm, clammy hand, you know,
clammy, that
word. And if they shake your hand and then you know they kind of loosely let go and their fingers kind of leave a trail on your it's horrible.
I completely agree. It is disgusting, but is it terrifying? Is it scary?
It is to me.
I get your point in that, like, if there's someone you don't know and they're overly tactile, it's a bit like, this is weird, and like sometimes you like, I don't want to be too mean, but sometimes, like with the handshake, for example, if you have to shake hands with someone that looks... Cause some people look clammy on occasion, especially in the summer, and you have to shake their hand. It's a bit like, I don't really want to do this. But I get Chris's point in that it's not terrifying. But also, like, you know that I'm like the opposite. Like, I'm quite a tactile person with people that I know.
You're a predator in this situation.
I'm so scared. But I'm quite a huggy person, and I like the feeling of physical contact, because that...
See, I'm not so worried about hugs, and this is where I draw the line, right? A hug is kind of okay, because it's through clothes. You know, you've got lots of material between you, your skin, and the other person's skin, you know? And I just can't get over the fact that, like, if someone touches your skin, it's just horrible. It makes me... But I think it's the psychological side of things that winds me up there. It's the, you know, I can't get that out of my mind. And I think maybe the broader point here is that it's the more psychological fears that are kind of the problems, because it's harder to escape. It takes more effort. You can't just, like, you know, run away and lock yourself up. You know, someone could follow you, and or, you know, someone might not know, and it just appears out of nowhere, and it seems like innocuous, and they don't know that it's going to happen, and it just ruins your day.
I'm going to give Tom a point here, because once someone's touched your hand, it's there.
Mm.
It's on your hand. And if there isn't a sink or something, Germs. It is inescapable. You're constantly looking at your hand thinking, it's on there. Their clamminess is on there. And then if you wipe it onto your clothes, you then think, well, it's now on my clothes. Whereas once you've gone inside and the wasp is outside, you're okay. You can distance yourself from the wasp, but... That thing of I'm going to shake that hand, and as soon as I've washed it, I might have to shake another person's hand. There's an inescapability to it, which is definitely point worthy.
Yeah,
I think another issue is that I kind of touched on there is that, you know, it's harder to fix that fear. You know, with Amy, theoretically, with her wasp fear, you could fix that by, you know, making her... interact with wasps, you know, she could have a lesson from a wasp expert or something. You know, but theoretically, there is a mechanism there that you can use that would help you to overcome your fear. Whereas with me, it would take a lot of weird soul searching. You know, there's hours and hours of therapy there that I would need to go through to get rid of this. So, you know, it lingers and it sticks with me, and it would be a tough one to get rid of, I think.
I think you're underestimating my fear of wasps. Like, this is stemmed from childhood. And my dad's scared of wasps as well. Like, and I think it partly comes from, like, not hereditary, obviously, but partly comes from his attitude as well. Because, and again, that's slightly psychological, because I've seen the way he reacts to wasps. And that's probably embedded itself in my brain somewhere and made me think, like, that's the way you deal with wasps. Yeah, I just like hugs and... Yeah, I like a comforting hand. I like being... This is going to sound really weird, but I like being stroked.
Whoa.
You know,
that
just
did
like
not need to be said.
No, not in a weird way.
Like, no, you like... made it weird by precursing it with not in a weird way, but...
Chris, what are you doing? For the listeners, Chris is just kind of sat at his microphone, like stroking his own head. I think I could have been a cat in a previous life. Let's put it that way.
Right, I'm going to save this podcast, okay? Before we descend into utter madness, okay?
I find that deeply, deeply offensive.
The scariest thing is obviously the dark. The dark is nothingness and everything, okay? In that dark room, the ordinary can become terrifying. If it's dark, the sound of a boiler suddenly becomes a ghost inhabiting your floorboards, okay? If you have, say, a curtain tie or something and you brush past it, is that a snake? Is that someone touching me, okay? You don't know where anyone is, okay? Anyone could be around. If you hear the buzz of a wasp, how much more terrifying is that made in the darkness? The darkness has its own fears inside it, but then it exacerbates all other fears. It is the overwhelming fear-mongerer of the world.
Yeah, I'll give you a point there in that it does exacerbate pre-existing fears through the fact that you don't know what anything is in the dark. But also, it definitely is the easiest one to remedy, because you just switch on a light.
Yep,
like,
point there for Amy.
It's not hard to overcome that.
But if you have a power cut, okay, how are you going to turn the light on? Okay.
Oh, it's almost as if torches don't exist.
And if you start throwing torches or anything, but if you have a lack of... The whole point of a fear of the dark is there is a lack of light, okay? If there was always light, you wouldn't have the fear of the dark. What about, okay, you're in bed, okay? The fear of what's under the bed is because there's always a dark corner under the bed you can't quite see. Yes, you can shine the light into it, but as soon as that light's gone, the dark is back, okay? You can't permanently be in a state of light. There will always be that bit of darkness. And the thing with the dark is, it's all about the imagination, okay? A wasp is a wasp, and being touched is being touched. But your imagination can go to all sorts of dreadful places, and that imagination runs wild in the dark.
That's... Maybe I'm not scared of the dark because I don't have any imagination.
Oh my god. This is going... Are you okay?
I'm happy with that. I'm perfectly fine admitting that I have no imagination.
But there's constant thing of what could be in the dark. If you enter a room that is pitch black, you don't know what's in there. There could be anything in there.
Yes, yes. Points. I think the imagination side of things is scary. And whilst I say I have no imagination, I certainly do. You know, the darkness does kind of trigger this ability to imagine anything, even though I can't do that when the lights are on. So, I think there's definitely points there to be had.
I agree. But I think to counter that, when I was little, and even now to some extent, I would never have said I was afraid of the dark. I think it's the fact that it exacerbates other fears. And for me, it was never the fact that I was scared of it being dark. It's those fears that you're... And I get that's kind of your point, but it's those fears in your mind that it already plays on. Like, for me, when I turned, when I turned on the lights, those fears wouldn't disappear. They'd just be quelled a little bit. But for me, that's not the thing that I was scared of. It was just, because it was dark, it let me think more. It kind of let me ponder more about those fears.
But that's the scary thing about darkness, is you don't know what you're letting in. As soon as you turn off that light, you unleash all this stuff. And that is because of the darkness. As soon as it's light, those fears aren't being unleashed in the same way.
Okay, I think we're focusing very much on the negatives of the dark. But I think there are some things about the dark, you know, that you just can't get in the light. Like things like fireworks, you know, looking up at the stars, like skylines by night. These are all things that you wouldn't get if you didn't have the dark. So if you're saying, oh, the dark is scary and we shouldn't have the dark or whatever, you know, you're removing all of the possibility of these
things.
But
what are you finding to like? The skyline, lights of the city. Fireworks, it's the light in the dark. The thing you're focusing on is the light. It's not the darkness. It's not the darkness that's beautiful. It is the light. It is the light in the darkness, which is okay. That darkness is only not scary anymore because light has been brought into it.
Yeah, but equally, if you didn't have the darkness, then you wouldn't see those things.
Yeah.
You know, if everything was light, it would just be normal, which is fine. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make it beautiful or interesting. If you send a firework up, you know, it's because the darkness is there that you can see that that firework looks nice.
Yeah, I think definitely a point to Tom there, because you need the dark to for those things to be beautiful, essentially. And sometimes you crave darkness as well. Like, if you now that I'm older, I think most people get to this stage where they kind of realise irrational fears. But like, if I go to bed now and there's like a flashing light in my room, I'm like begging for darkness, like, because it's just, all you want is to be able to go to sleep. And for a lot of people, the only way that they can sleep is in utter darkness. So, yeah, I think...
Point to Amy. Like, I completely agree. I can't sleep without pitch black.
My final comment, though, on the dark is its inescapability. In that if you're in a dark room, how long does that darkness go on for?
Until you turn on the light.
In that you know where the wasp is. But that's the point. You don't know where the light switch is. You're just, if you're in, say you're in a cave and it's pitch black, that could go on and on and on. The darkness.
How often are you in a cave or in a room that you don't know how you got in, where the light switch is and where it ends? How often are you in that situation?
That's the point of darkness. When you're in that dark situation, there is no escape. You can't see a way out. If you can see the wasp, and you know if I go over here, I'm away from the wasp. You can avoid people. But once you're in the darkness, how do you get out of it?
I just don't think that's a very common thing to have as a problem. You know, I'm not often just in the middle of a cave.
Just because it doesn't happen frequently doesn't mean it's not scary. People are terrified of clowns or someone being in their house. That doesn't regularly happen, but it still riddles people with fear. I don't think fear has to be something that is the everyday. That's the point of fear, is that it's not the everyday. If it's the everyday, we can deal with it. Wasps are about so often, you should be able to get over it and deal with it.
Whereas your fear is totally irrational, Amy. Get over yourself.
Whereas the things that happen so infrequently, okay, to suddenly find yourself in a dark space that you can't get out of, that's why it's so terrifying. It's because of its rarity and it's not happening very often. You don't know how to deal with it.
You just need to learn how to deal with it, Chris. Shut yourself in a dark room more often.
So, the scores on the doors. Down the bottom, on 1 point, we have me and the dark.
Sorry, Chris.
I know. Down the bottom. Probably the only typical fear I thought coming into this. Then, on 3 points, we have being touched.
I can't believe I got 3 points.
And on 4 points, the killer of the picnic. Yay. The whale-inducing wasp.
Yay! They are the spawn of Satan. Thank you. I hate them. I hate them.
So, there you have it. Wasps are the scariest thing in the world. Thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like to get in contact with us or tell your friends all about us, then you can, either through
our social media. On Facebook, we're Mind the Flat Podcast. On Instagram, we're at @mindtheflat_podcast. And on Twitter, we're at @mindtheflat_pod.
Or you can email us at mindtheflatpodcast@gmail.com.
Or visit our website, mindtheflatpodcast.com, where we've got all our episodes from this series and series one. And we'll be back again next week with more debate on another of life's most challenging questions. Until then, goodbye.